Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Club Junkie Podcast. Hopefully having a good week. Another week down, another few days closer to the PGA Show. Yes, the PGA Show for 2023 is back. Excuse me. And I will be there. So I will be taking off on Monday. But before we get into today's show, I just want to let you know this episode brought to you by the brand new Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X. And listen, for the best in the world, the goal is to improve every day. Same goes for all of us dedicated to this game, and it starts with choosing a golf ball you can trust. The Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X have set the standard for performance, and now they just got better again. Both models are engineered with high gradient core technology that delivers lower long game spin for more distance and more consistent flight. And of course, you can expect that trusted drop and stop greenside control, so important to shooting lower scores. Pro V1 is the best combination of distance, spin, and feel in the game and delivers a penetrating flight, where Pro V1X flies a little higher, spins a little more in the short game, while still giving you low spin on longer shots to maximize your distance. Outperform your best. Learn more about the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X at Titleist.com. So, new Pro V1, Pro V1X. I have not hit them yet. Unfortunately, here in Michigan, I haven't played since January 2nd, so I've not had a chance to play these golf balls yet. Super excited to, though. I do have a box of each waiting in the wings, and if this winter stays a little mild, your boy might have a chance to go play them, because it's been decent. It's one of those things, I probably should have went out and played yesterday. I'm recording this on Wednesday. Should have went out and played. It was like mid-40s tomorrow or today. It's supposed to be like 50. Probably supposed to rain, but we'll see what happens there. But it's just kind of a crazy time. It's been mild. Next week, Monday, I take off for the PGA Show. So I leave Monday afternoon. I'll be down there. Basically, I'll get down Monday night and then hang out. Tuesday through Thursday, I'll be at Demo Day. I'll be on the show floor for Wednesday and Thursday. And then I am out wildly early on Friday morning. My flight is like 6:30 a.m. or 6 a.m. or some crazy thing. So I'm out back home. I get back to see the fan, the wife and kid. So, but it's going to be a busy week. The PGA Show is always really interesting. My favorite thing, I love going just because the thing I love about it is going to see people that I haven't seen now in a couple of years. Without the PGA Show happening in, what was it, like 20 and 21. It did happen last year or something like that. Or it happened in 19. It didn't happen in 20. I think it happened in 21. And then last year I didn't go. I haven't been there in like 3 years. So, or 2 or 3 years. So, yeah, 19 was the last time I went. Didn't happen in 20. 21, we just had like two guys down there or something like that. And then, or we didn't go. And then last year we just had like, again, like two guys show up. So it was, like I said, it's been a while since I've been there. The legs will be hurting. I'm going to have my best pair of, my comfiest pair of walking shoes on, and I'll be walking the floor. So it is, like I said, it'd be good to be back, though, just to see a lot of the people that I haven't seen in a long time. So, there's a lot of people you deal with, especially working in golf media, that you talk to over the phone, you send tons of emails. You're like boys. And then, but you never see each other. So, and then finally, you go to the PGA Show and you finally get to either put the face with it or, shake somebody's hand or whatnot. So, exciting to be there. It is a long week, and I'm not a guy who's a huge travel guy. So, I don't like being away from my family for a full week, but it is a good week. And we'll get to see some stuff. Most of the equipment side, we've already seen, we've already reported on. There's, like one or two things that will kind of be launching down at the show, but usually that stuff is pretty, I don't want to say rare, but there's not a ton launched at the show from a lot of the big OEMs on the equipment side. Most of the stuff we're going to see down there is some of the smaller guys. The guys making training aids, from what I've heard, there's going to be a decent amount of launch monitor products down there. There's going to be, all sorts of clothing and accessories and stuff like that. But like I said, the main club type stuff, we've probably reported on most of it or, very, very shortly. So it's not new to us when we go down there. But some of that other stuff is pretty cool. So it'll be exciting to see who's kind of new in clothing and footwear and hats and all sorts of that stuff. And if you're down there and you see me walking around, come up, say hi. I might even have a Club Junkie sticker for you or something. I I do have a few Club Junkie stickers. I think there's only like one listener who has them, who asked for one. So I think there's only a handful of people who ever have or who have them. But if you see me down there, hit me up, and I should have one for you. It's not that exciting, but there. And I also want to thank everybody for all the questions. Yesterday, we did a little Q&A. If you want to follow along with our Q&As, we do a little like question and answer things. You guys asked me all sorts of questions on clubs and shafts and building and whatever. Tons of cool stuff. We get to talk about golf. If you don't follow me on Instagram, please do at Club Junkie Pod. Like I said, we do kind of Q&As. I post some stuff here and there, but we try to kind of get interactive and hang out, and it's just a bunch of people hanging out talking about golf equipment, which is always a blast. So very cool. Even got offers if I was ever in town at certain places to go play golf. So and I think even somebody offered to buy me a beer out in Bend, Oregon or something. So hey, if I'm ever out that way, I would love to go back out. I was out there once to play Bandon, and haven't been back since. But it was beautiful out there. So one of these days, I'll get around and travel more, but it's going to be a little bit. So anyway, got two things to talk about today, and one of which I know everybody's super excited for. I know there's so much golf equipment, and that was like Q&A yesterday, what everybody was asking, what do I think is going to be the best driver, who's going to be chasing who, and whatnot. And I don't know yet, because I haven't hit everything, and I haven't hit enough of everything, so I've hit some of the Srixon stuff. I haven't hit Cobra yet. I hit some of the TaylorMade. I've hit the three Callaway drivers. I haven't hit, a couple other. I mean, it's just, I haven't hit everything yet. So I'm still trying to weed out what's kind of, in the running for first place, second place, whatever. I'm kind of trying to run through and see what is going to be closest to making the bag. So I'm not there yet. And I just need more time. I just need more time, unfortunately. So, beginning of the year in golf media is always nuts. So it's hard to find a lot of time to just go sit at the range and hit balls. I wish I had a bunch of that time to do that, but I don't. But I will get into today one interesting thing I talked about a little while ago about Paradigm drivers, Paradigm fairway woods. So I'm going to talk about Paradigm fairway woods. If you're watching this on YouTube, I unfortunately don't have any of the three, because as soon as I was done hitting them, one of the guys at the office was like beating down the door to get his hands on them as well. So when new stuff like that is hot and it's in the office, I am unfortunately not the only one who's looking to try it and hit it and all that. I do have to share. So I know a lot of people always ask, what do you do with all the old equipment? Other people do work for Golf the Beer X, so unfortunately, a lot of it gets picked up by them. I do have a lot of stuff, don't get me wrong, but a lot of it moves on to other people in the building as well. So don't have any of them here to like put on screen and show you, unfortunately, but definitely can talk about the three, because I hit all three. And like I said before with driver, it's been a while since I've put a Callaway wood in my bag. I've been trying a lot of them. I got really close with Rogue ST last year. I thought the Triple Diamond was pretty good. I had a Max with a Ventus set, Ventus Red 7X that I hit pretty good. I just didn't hit it off the tee real well. The Triple Diamond I hit really well off the tee. Struggled a little bit with it off the turf. So, and then my boy out there on tour, Johnny Wonder, was nice enough, kind enough to gift me an LS tour head that actually was adjustable, much like the Paradigm Threewoods are, was adjustable, tour only, all that. Loved the look of it, all that. I just couldn't quite hit it high enough off the deck. And I think when he gave it to me, he even said, it was a little more penetrating flight, a little deeper face, but it went, and it did. Like, off the tee, it was crazy long. So the three new ones definitely have a much better look to my eye. I think there was something with, with a lot of bonded fairways, you get that look of slightly shut at address. There's not a lot of them out there that look square to open. A few with some of the Triple Diamond type stuff, all that does look a little open. But for whatever reason, a lot of bonded hosels, and I think a lot of you kind of notice the same thing. Bonded hosels tend to look a little bit shut. I love adjustable hosels. One, because I'm a club junkie and I just love changing shafts and things like that, and it makes it way easier. And two, I like having the adjustment, because you could actually do stuff like, if something looks a little shut, you could go up to the 5-wood, turn it down, make it kind of a 4-wood. You have some options there when you get into adjustable fairway woods. I personally like it. totally understand why it's not done that often anymore. Or not, or Callaway stepped away from it sometimes and then they kind of come back. There's a lot of weight in an adapter that when you have a traditional glued hosel, it's a lot of weight you can move around into the club head and do other things with. So I get it. But these here, the Paradigm X, Paradigm, and Paradigm Triple Diamond, three brand new ones. In terms of cosmetics, I like the look a lot. They match the driver. They've got kind of the carbon top, the matte black kind of top line, that finish. I think they look really good. I think the shaping is really good, even compared to my tour issue head that I had. I actually like the shaping on these just a little bit better. I think it's a little softer. Even my tour issue head was kind of a straight top line. The paint on it was kind of straight, where these are just have a little more kind of bulge and roll to them, just a little softer looking. I really like how they look. I know blue carbon, some people love it, hate it, whatever. I'm cool with it. All good to me. I think the shapes look really good. They don't look like the Max doesn't look quite as stretched out as the Max did last year. The face is still a little bit shallow. It's not as shallow, I feel like, as the Max from last year, but it is still fairly shallow. And then the Paradigm X, footprint wise, a little bigger than the Triple Diamond, still looks really good. And it's just, you know, it like I said, from the dress, I like all three looks. I know the fatter hosel doesn't bother me because I know I have adjustability into it. But all three really, really good looking. I think sound and feel on them is really good too. It was interesting. I took a couple notes on it when I was hitting balls because, you know, people always ask, like, do you take notes or whatever? How do you remember all this stuff? And I do. I like type stuff into my phone when I'm on the range and stuff like that. So I kind of look like an idiot. Or I kind of look literally like that douchebag who's, you know, just on his phone while at the range when it's not really, you know, I'm not sitting there texting my wife or, you know, doing anything like that. I'm literally like putting notes in or, you know, something like that. Or maybe changing the music, whatever I'm listening to. So in terms of sound and feel, all three were like just a little bit different. The standard Paradigm was kind of the most muted, kind of had more of the kind of a crack type sound, a little, you know, less metallic than the other three. And then the Paradigm Triple Diamond would probably have the highest metallic sound. And it was just a little bit louder than the other two. And the Paradigm X for me kind of fell in between. And I was hitting these indoors in a dome, unfortunately, but I did have my launch monitor. But it was one of those where, yeah, and I think it goes along with it because the standard Paradigm has the most carbon in it. It's got a carbon crown, carbon sole. It makes sense why that one kind of is the most muted, kind of has the lowest pitch. Sounds a little bit different than the other two. And then the Paradigm Triple Diamond has, I think, zero carbon on the sole, only carbon on the top. Totally makes sense why it's probably the most metallic and slightly loudest feeling or sounding of them all. And then the X falling in between where it just has the carbon on the sole out of the toe. So it makes total sense. Like I said, for me, I think sound and feel, like I said, Paradigm was really muted, kind of had that crack sound. It really was kind of, I wouldn't say unique, but it was really kind of a good sound. Paradigm X kind of had the little more metallic to it, and then the Paradigm Triple Diamond really kind of had that little ting to it, which I think we all kind of gotten used to with, especially a lot of these, you know, hot stainless steel faced, you know, three woods and stuff like that, fairway woods. We'd get a little bit of that that ting going to them, and I think I like it personally. I'm a big fan of having just that touch of ting to the three wood driver. I like keeping super muted, but for whatever reason, the three wood I like having a little more metallic sound to it. So it was a fun time hitting them. I was hitting drivers then, and then I popped into three woods. And I'll start off with the one that it kind of impressed me the most. They were all like, I'm honestly pretty close. I kind of have to like go between like my notes and my stats on here just because I'm on my phone and it's kind of a pain. But I have to remember which order I hit the three clubs. So, you know, like when I go in here, I'm like, you know, I should have put names on my, on the launch monitor when I was in there. I should have put names on each one, but I didn't. So I got to go back and remember like, okay, this one labeled is the Paradigm. This one's the Paradigm Triple Diamond. This one's the X. So have to go back and just, you know, take a look at those things. But honestly, out of the three, they were all pretty close. But I do have to say the Triple Diamond was kind of my, God, I hit it so good. Dispersion-wise was the tightest for whatever reason. Now they didn't all have the exact same shafts. I tried to swap them out and get it close. But again, when they were sending in media samples, we didn't have the ability to kind of like pick and choose and custom order or anything like that. So The Triple Diamond actually had my Fujikura Speeder NX 70X in it. And then the other two had a Hazardous Silver 70 gram X in it that I kind of swapped between the two. I didn't move the Speeder NX. I should have, I know. So this is kind of not apples to apples in a sense. But as soon as I hit the Triple Diamond with the Speeder NX, I was just like, wow, super impressed. I was just kind of hitting shot after shot. Now, the Paradigm X actually ended up averaging 2 yards further in terms of launch monitor numbers. It ended up being the longest at, you know, 2 yards longer. My average carry was 218, and then 216 for the three, you know, for the Triple Diamond. And then the standard Paradigm X was down to 211, which I know is really kind of low for me, or low, but, you know, those aren't crazy wild numbers for a three wood. But carry-wise, that's probably about right. I mean, I probably carry, you know, off the deck, which I was hitting all these off the deck. I wasn't hitting off the tee. I probably carry it, you know, in real life with probably a slightly better ball because the balls at the dome were not the most amazing. But I do probably carry it, you know, 220. I mean, I can probably get it to roll, you know, hit it 220, get it to roll out. It's probably 230 off the deck maybe at best with a little roll. And then, you know, off the tee, I hit it a little farther than that. So it's probably not too far off from what I'm doing. And I know I'm trying to, like, make excuses and make myself sound better. It's just I'm not. So the Paradigm X ended up being the longest, like I said, at 218, and then the Triple Diamond at 216. But I do have to tell you what, the Triple Diamond, I was just hitting shot after shot after shot, and it just was one of those things where you felt instant comfort. After like the second or third shot with it, I was just like, man, I can hit the crap out of this, and just continued to just kind of roast shots. The X, I had one or two bad ones in there that had to, you know, that I either like really sniped left that I ended up getting rid of, or, you know, just hit some really, you know, nice straight shots with that. So carry-wise, like I said, they were pretty close. And then the interesting thing is when it gets to spin, again, all really close. I know the Triple Diamond's supposed to be the lowest, but I think I was hitting down on that one kind of the most. Just, like I said, hitting it really well. I mean, the Triple Diamond spun at 3,500 for me, where the other two literally were within like 60 RPM over average at basically 3,400 and 3,360. So from the spinniest, which I was the exact opposite, which was too funny, the spinniest one spun the least for me, and the lowest spinning three wood spun the most for me, which was really interesting. But again, you're talking 150, you know, you're talking 200 RPM total between lowest and highest spinning. So literally not much, which was interesting that the Triple Diamond spun so much, you know, spun more. But, you know, when I look at all those shots, I mean, every single one of them was basically right around. I mean, it was, you know, when you go down the list, it was 33, 36, 36, 35, 34, 6, 33, 7. 30, I mean, you know, they're all really, really tight. And when I get to that three wood there, you know, well, they all kind of were. You know, looking at it there, the range variation on the X is a little more. I mean, I get down to like 3,000 and then jump up to 35. So there was like a 400 RPM gap. Variance in the X, and probably only about 300. So I mean, they were close. I mean, you're talking a couple hundred RPM, and then, you know, same thing with the standard Paradigm, just everything. I mean, 3,400 and everything was, you know, 35.4, 35.19, 3204, 35, 3408, 33.3, 32.7. I mean, it was just, you know, you go down the list and all these things are really close. And I think much like the driver, the variation in spin from when you missed the center to the center shots were just, they're just, I mean, a couple hundred RPM. There was really not a big swing. You weren't seeing shots off the heel spinning a ton and shots off the toe really not spinning at all. And they just really were consistent no matter where you struck it on the face. Then you get to ball speed. So ball speed with them, the Triple Diamond ended up winning out at 138.9 miles an hour, followed by the Paradigm X at 138. And then the standard paradigm at 136.5. So for me, decent ball speed out of a three wood, only probably about, you know, In terms of averages, probably only about 8-9 miles an hour slower than a driver for me, but 138.9, I mean, it was just, I had, you know, 140, 138.9, 138.2, I mean, I even had a 142, I even shot in there a 134, another 138.3, I mean, there's just, you know, everything was up there. And then the same thing with the Paradigm X, you know, everything. I had a 139.9 as my highest with that one. So in terms of ball speed, again, really close. And then the Paradigm, the standard Paradigm wasn't bad either. I mean, you're at 136.5. And really with that one there, I had one shot that was kind of, you know, it wasn't a horrible, horrible shot, but I didn't hit it great. And it was a 127 ball speed that kind of brought it down. So if you got rid of that shot, it would probably even move the ball speed pretty close. But the ball speed on really good. And like I said, the ball speed on, combined with the spin on miss hits, really made a lot of these miss hits stay way more in play than I've seen from, seen from a lot of three woods lately. After ball speed, you get into, we'll get into smash factor. I mean, clubhead speed is pretty much similar. But smash factor, the Paradigm X actually won out. I was at 147. And that one there, when you look down the line, I mean, it was just like 148s, 149s, 143, 148. I mean, it was just, you go down the list. Followed by the triple diamond, which, you know, kind of the same thing. I had a little more variation in there in terms of I had a 146, a 142, another 146, a 44, a 48. I mean, so a little more variation on that one. Even though, you know, I think maybe just, you know, a slightly smaller face or shorter heel to toe. Maybe I was just missing it a little more out on the heel and toe a little bit. But smash factor, like I said, for all these was pretty darn close. And then 142 average for the standard Paradigm, which, again, when I look down my list here, I do see like a 133 in there, which is the same thing. I mean, maybe I should have deleted that shot. That was the same thing with a 127 ball speed on that, so maybe I should have deleted that shot. But, you know, you go down that list, and there's maybe one in there that would affect it a little bit. But, again, really close. Again, the Paradigm Triple Diamond felt like I was hitting the middle of the face like every time. It just felt like I was killing that thing. But the X is pretty darn easy to hit. You get into Apex, and there you go with you know, the highest flying was the Apex for me, 88 feet, followed closely by the Triple Diamond at 86 feet, and then the standard Paradigm, you know, I actually came in at only 79 feet, but I think I hit a few more lower left with that than the other two. For whatever reason, I don't know, I just didn't feel as comfortable with that head as I did with the other two, and I think I just hit a few more left than I did, and for me, when I hit them left, they're kind of low left. So after that, we get into launch angle, and launch angle on these, as I scroll back down, was all pretty similar. You know, like I said, the X definitely launched the highest at 12.4, and the Triple Diamond at 11.6, and then the standard Paradigm at 11.3. So all pretty similar. The X definitely launched a degree higher on average. And again, when you go down that list, there was, you know, it was pretty consistent. But the, what do you call it? The Triple Diamond, same thing, just really consistent there. I mean, I threw in a 15.8, but then you had a couple of 11s, you know, another 15. And then, I mean, you just kind of went through when you go down the list. I wasn't hitting it that different. Now the big thing with dispersion on all these, I mean, they were all really tight, but this Triple Diamond was harder to turn over. And I wouldn't say I wouldn't say it was hard. I mean, I didn't turn it over as much. If anything, straight ball, slight draw, you know, on everything. And especially like, you know, when you're in a dome and you can only see like 75 feet, launch monitor is kind of doing the rest for you. Everything was basically, I was hitting it at one of those white targets at the top. When I hit good shots, they would start at the right side of the target, maybe break to the left of the target or to the left edge of that square. And that was it. Like they just didn't have a lot of left to them, and a lot of them were pretty straight and inside that box. Now the Paradigm X, which I did hit really well, there was far more left to it than that. You know, it definitely had a bigger draw to it. If it started out on the right side of that square, it was moving beyond the square by a few yards with no problem, and there was really no right side to it. And I think the driver, I kind of had the same kind of thoughts about, where the X was really easy to hit, create a ton of ball speed, it wasn't crazy high spinning, anything like that. it just was really easy to turn over, and I was able to hit bigger draws with it. So same thing with the Fairway Woods. I think the Paradigm X is awesome. If you're a kind of a straight ball hitter, want to hit a little draw, or you're a guy who kind of plays a little fade and wants to straighten it up. If you're a big draw guy, you know, it's all going to depend. It probably depend on the shaft setup and things like that. But it is, you know, don't sleep on the X just because it's the X. It's one of those, if you need a little height, especially off the deck, it's super easy to hit off the deck. And it goes like crazy. The ball speed, all that is, you know, hanging with everything. It doesn't spin a ton. At least it didn't for me. So in terms of, you know, worrying about, you know, hitting some high, weak, spinny shots, I don't think you have to worry about that. You know, like I said, forgiveness-wise on the X, I probably got away with, you know, better ball speed on the miss hits there because the face is longer heeled toe. But I felt like the triple diamond, I was just hitting really well, and I felt really confident with it. Now, again, it did have a slightly different shaft in it, so I get it. It's not 100% apples to apples, but, you know, early in the season here in Michigan, you kind of get stuck doing what you can. And when I was out there, and I probably would have, had I not hit the triple diamond so well with the speeder NX, I would have put in the Project X Silver and kind of hit them all and all, hit them all the same three shafts. But once I started hitting it, it was just super easy to do. But like I said, the biggest thing for me in terms of ball flight is, you know, triple diamond's going to have the most neutral bias to it. You move then to the standard paradigm, which, you know, was a little harder to turn over, and then the X, which is kind of easy. So you're basically, for me, hitting these, I mean, you're kind of going up a little bit in loft and finding a way to kind of add a little more left bias, you know, for each head. But in terms of ball speed and spin, all really, really good. And I was actually shocked that that the spin on the triple diamond was as much as it was for me. And again, I'll probably get out there and hit all three with the same shaft as soon as I get the heads back and I can go do that. But overall, really, really impressed three woods. I just had three woods. I didn't have like fives or sevens or anything like that to hit. So I was just kind of hitting three woods versus three woods. But that, yeah, that, like I said, Paradigm X, launch a little higher, easy to turn over, hit a draw with. Standard Paradigm, pretty neutral, little bit of draw bias to it for me. But like I said, that launched the lowest, but I just, like I said, wasn't as comfortable hitting that one for some reason. And then the Triple Diamond is just an animal, and it just goes straight. And if you're a guy who turns it over, hits it left, it's probably the one that you want to try, because it's not going to go left, it's going to be much harder to get it to go left. So, like I said, I was just super confident. I really liked the triple diamond. I was really impressed with it. And there's a very good chance, I told the guy, our guy at work, I handed him all three of them. And I was like, if you don't like the triple diamond, like, it's, if it's something, you know, you're not, you know, blown away with, like, it's coming back to me and going in my bag. So, I've already let it be known that I want to throw that bad boy back in the bag. So we'll see how that goes. And like I said, so far, really impressed with the Callaway Paradigm stuff. You know, I think a lot of people are from what all the things I've been reading, all the comments that I've gotten in DMs and stuff like that, have been really positive. And I think a lot of people are pretty impressed. So, you know, we'll hit everything and see what goes into my bag and, you know, mess around with some more shafts and all that. But so far, really impressed with the Paradigm stuff. I think that triple diamond, at least for the moment, you know, until I get it on course, there's a very good chance it goes in the bag as my three woods. So we'll see. Again, you guys know my what's in the bag. Nothing is safe. Nothing goes in there and is safe and stays in forever. So we'll see how that goes. But Paradigm 3 fairways, definitely worth hitting. Like I said, haven't hit the fives or sevens or anything like that yet. I definitely want to hit one of the seven woods just to see. Like, you know, you guys know I've been kind of a seven wood guy. Seven wood, I don't want to say it's going to get knocked out. There's a hybrid that is out that looks really, really good from a dress. I haven't hit it yet, but looks awesome from a dress. It's not out yet. I think it actually hits today. I think it comes out today. So I'm not going to say it only because I don't know that it comes out today and I don't have my computer like right here that I can check embargo date. So I'm going to hold off, but there's a three wood coming that looks really, really, really good. So we'll see. Seven wood versus hybrid. We'll battle it out again and see which one can win. But the Paradigm hybrids are fairways are really, really good. Definitely worth trying if you're in the market for a fairway, looking for a little distance, looking for something that's, you know, either easier to launch, looking for something that's got a compact, really good look to it. You know, they've got a little bit of everything. So I'm impressed. Like I said, Triple Diamond has been, it's definitely piqued my interest. The ears are up, and I'm excited to see what happens, what it can do later on. So, Paradigms, go to CallawayGolf.com. Check out the rest of the Paradigm stuff. Gives you all the info. And don't necessarily trust what's just written there of this one launches the highest, spins the most, whatever. Just go hit them and see which one works best for you. Because, like I said, the numbers, for me at least so far, aren't exactly the same with everything. But, again, we'll kind of continue to hit some balls and see what happens. So, that is it with Paradigm Fairways. And now I move on to something that is definitely a little different, a little bit interesting. But I have been, you guys know, I hit the Vega VDCs and the Mizar Tour Irons. I actually played, when I played on January 2nd, I played those Mizar Tours, which was pretty cool. Really like them. Really like what the feel of them, everything like that. Well, they've also, when they reached out, the first thing I really wanted to try was they have a wedge with an interchangeable sole. So, yes, interchangeable sole. So what they do is they've made a wedge that has a back plate on it. And this one is called basically the Alcor Tour. So the Alcor Tour, and it has a section on it. The sole, most of the sole, it's made out of titanium, and it screws in there. And they make three different versions, high bounce, low bounce, mid bounce. And you can actually buy the little kit that has the other soles on them. So you can buy the kit that has other soles with a mid, a low, and a high bounce option. The high bounce, I believe, is, I think it's 12, mid is 8, and I want to say it's, or low is 8, and the mid is 10. So depending on what you like in your, and this is with a 56, so this is the 56 degree. They're probably slightly different when you get into the 60. I think they make it in a 52, 56, and 60. So the 60 is probably a little bit different in terms of what you get, but the 56, you know, you can either buy it with the weight kit or you can buy it just with the sole you need. Now, most people, the way this is made, it's not made for most people to get all three soles and mess around with them and change them out depending on the course conditions. And if you're watching this on YouTube, yes, you'll notice that there's not a screw in one of them because I want to take the sole off to show you what it looks like without the sole. Because I think everybody wanted to know what does it look like without the sole. But realistically, they don't really sell it as something where you're going to change out, you know, the different soles depending on your course conditions. For the most part, they're selling, you know, you'll get fit into it, whichever one you get fit into, you can then, you know, buy, and that's the one you probably will stick with. Now, I was like, no way, I want to mess around with this thing, so we got all the soles here, but it's very interesting when you take the sole off, you can see it's got two screw holes, and it's got a little machined edge, a little pocket in there that is machined in, and it's a matching pocket on the inside of the sole. So you can basically, when you set it in there, it sets in basically perfectly flush, and then you screw it down. It doesn't move. Even when you just set it in here, it, for the most part, stays in. It doesn't fall out. It stays in, and it doesn't move. Like, there's no wiggling or anything like that. The way they machined it is super precise, and it does not rattle or vibrate or anything that would mess around with the feel, because that would be a problem, because nobody wants to play a wedge that has some big rattle or, you know, ring to it or anything like that. When you shove it in here, like, it actually sometimes can be like hard to get out, and you have to be careful because the edges of the weight are a little bit sharp, and if you look in there, they kind of, there's a little gap between the back of the wedge and the sole, so there is a little gap there. I know a lot of people, when they saw it, said, oh man, there's gonna be a lot of dirt and stuff like that that gets in there. It's not that bad. I was trying not to drop it on the desk. It actually isn't that bad. That little lip there, I mean, it does catch a little bit of grass, a little bit of dirt. Not near what I thought. Now, if you're somebody who never cleans your clubs and you play in a very, you know, wet, muddy, whatever type track, it could build up in there. I could see where it could build up some dirt and sand and stuff like that. I was pretty surprised that it didn't have that much stuff in it after playing with it, you know, outside. I mean, hitting it on the range, no big deal. But actually going out and playing with it, I was kind of surprised that it didn't have anything in there. You know, it was pretty interesting. So these here do have some weight to them. I actually didn't weigh them. I should have. But they have a little bit of weight. So when you pull it out, and if you wanted to go play this with basically, probably negative bounce, and go play the wedge. It is super lightweight, so I don't know how it would feel playing without the weight. I didn't hit any balls with it without the weight because I just didn't. I probably should have just because. But pretty interesting. It does have a decent amount of weight. The sole is made from titanium. The face made from carbon steel. So the faceplate, all that, is forged. The titanium piece here, I don't believe is, but it is kind of got some cool, nice milling out of it. But they go together, and basically it was meant to, you get fit into one of the soles, whichever one it is, and that's the way you buy the wedge. They put the sole on, and you're good to go. And it's a great way to kind of fit. Or they kind of said, if you're somebody who, you play, you know, between a mid and a high or a mid and a low, and you basically do want to have something for, you know, two different course conditions or something like that, it is available. Or you have a sole for spring and fall, and then you have one for the, you know, the mid for the, you know, the high for the spring and fall, and then you go to the mid for, you know, deep summer when it's hot and all that. You could definitely do that. Like I said, I didn't think of it that way. For me, it was kind of more of that thing where it'd be pretty cool to, you know, kind of as a fitting thing, you could hit the different ones. And when I first got it, I took it out of the range, hit some balls, and I'll tell you that it's extremely soft. I know you probably would expect that from a Vega wedge, but it is extremely soft. Balls off there, whether they're range balls or real golf balls, come off with just a nice thud. When you hit it solid, you just get like a really solid kind of thud out of the ball. There's zero click, you know, anything like that. Maybe if you're using a really crappy, cheap, you know, range ball or something like that, you may get a little more click or something like that out of it. But using anything that has, you know, dimple still on it or anything like that, extremely soft, solid thud. Even little partial shots, you know, around the green, stuff like that, you still get a great feel to it. Very soft. Like I said, even being two pieces like this, it held together with screws. There is zero vibration, and I kind of, like, when I took it apart, I almost expected maybe there's like a rubber layer in there to kind of dampen everything. There is not. It is strictly metal on metal, and the two pieces go together precisely. And in terms of feel, you would never know that it's two pieces. It literally feels exactly the same as a high-end forged wedge, which that's what it is. The feel, like I said, feel on it's really good. Spin on it is really good as well. I mean, we were playing some kind of a little bit hairy greens, and the rough was a little long. The fairways weren't super tight. So there was a shot, I can't remember which hole it was, but hit a shot that spun back that I was just like, how did that spin back? Like, nothing all day had been holding really, really well, and this shot just hit and spun back. But partial shots with wedges to full shots had a ton of spin. Now, I just had the 56, but those shots there, little open face shots, anything like that, a really good amount of spin came out of it, whether it was in the rough or off kind of a little hairier fairway shot. I've not been able to hit it off a super tight fairway lie, but I'm going to expect if it spun pretty well off some of the longer fairway conditions that I played it in, I'm going to suspect that under a really tight conditions, it's going to spin like crazy. The high bounce sole, which is the one I played pretty much the most of, really good in soft conditions, which a lot of what we have out here when we played in the winter is pretty soft. It's either, you know, rain or snow has melted recently. Nothing's that firm. Really good, though. It's got the soles, you know, I would say, I wouldn't call it necessarily narrow, but there's a decent amount of trailing edge relief that's there. So when you open the face up, the leading edge does come up a little bit, but nothing crazy. You know, as you expect with most high bounce soles, that leading edge is going to come up just a little bit when you open the face. But opening the face, still able to hit a lot of really kind of nice touch precision shots. Like I said, a decent amount of trailing edge, so it still gets through the turf. There's still enough sole there when you're playing it out of, you know, the rough and things like that, that you're not just going to slide under the ball. But the sole is pretty versatile. It'll allow you to open the face up. It gets through the rough pretty well. Out of the sand, it's actually got a good amount of float to it. When you open it up, you can see there's a good amount of sole that becomes exposed. Floats really well through that, through the sand. And most conditions, it worked really well. You can press it forward. I kind of like how round the leading edge is. So when you look at that leading edge from face to sole, it's really round, really dull. And even if you press this thing forward, take a little bit of the loft off and kind of hit little chip shots with it, it doesn't snag or get caught up in, you know, in that grass. Now, maybe some of these crazy, you know, super tight, firm grasses that some of you guys may play on, you know, that may be different, but everything up here, like I said, you can press it forward and it, it works really well on pretty full shots. It gets through the turf really well. It does not want to dig. It hits, it gets into the turf, and it kind of slides out. The divots stay pretty shallow. Nothing was crazy wet where you're taking huge beaver pelts, but the divots on there were fairly shallow compared to some other wedges I've played played early in the year. You know, like I said, it just overall performs really well. It's a pretty versatile wedge, and the feel on it is fantastic. I was playing, I don't remember what ball I was playing, but I mean, on little pitch shots, everything, there was just no, it just felt really good. I was just really impressed with, you know, a two-piece thing like this that's held together with two bolts with no rubber linings, anything. I mean, there's just nothing there. It just works. The seam on the, between the titanium sole and the face is pretty darn flush. I never noticed, I mean, nothing ever stuck in there or anything like that. Never had any excessive dirt, so I don't think that was going to wear or anything like that. When you run your nail over it, I mean, it can snag a little bit, but for the most part, it feels like you actually drop down onto the sole from the face, so your nail doesn't even, you know, doesn't even catch. Going the other way, it's actually still pretty smooth. It's a little more catch going backwards, but going forward is what you're looking for. But yeah, the high bounce sole worked really, really well. I was really impressed with it. I hit the mid bounce sole on the range, but it was again on the range, so you're not really seeing a whole lot of you know, a whole big difference in terms of turf interaction. There's a little less grab on the mat, but not a whole lot. Wear on it's pretty good. The titanium sole, as you can see, you can almost not even see there's any wear to it. It really doesn't show a whole lot. Now this bad boy is pretty soft. Unfortunately, I already have one tiny ding in the face from just bag chatter and stuff like that. And flight is definitely a little bit higher. Now this thing does have a different shaft in it. It's got a Shimada Tour Wedge 110. Launch on full shots is definitely a little bit higher than, you know, other wedges that I've hit. You know, a lot of stuff I've hit with either S400s or like the Modus Tour or the Modus Wedge 125. Those launch a little bit lower. This definitely gets up in the air a little easier. It'd be interesting to see if you did change the shaft, if it would play a little bit lower. But it is a little higher launching. You know, if you're a guy looking for a really flat, penetrating ball flight with your wedges, you know, I didn't notice that necessarily with this so much. But you can hit a ton of different shots with it. Like I said, whether you're opening the face, whether you're pressing it forward, you can hit all the shots you want to hit. And again, just crazy soft. You know, I mean, especially when you catch a disc dead center, it's like watching on TV and you watch those guys hit a real crisp wedge shot and it just kind of thuds and the ball just goes, and that's exactly what it is. So the Shimada Tour 110 seemed pretty good in this wedge. It has a little bit of flex to it. I've been playing a lot of the BGT's Zone or ZNE shaft, which is pretty stout. It's pretty stiff feeling. This had a little more feel to it. It had a little more give, a little more kind of release as you got into the ball. Shaping on the wedge is really good. There's just a little bit of roundness to that leading edge. When you look down from, you know, from hosel to leading edge, it's pretty straight for a 56. I don't mind it at all. It's just got a hair of radius to the front. I overall like the roundness of it. If you're somebody who likes a really sharp toe, this is probably going to be a little softer to your eye, but almost zero offset to it. Really good look from a dress. It isn't crazy tiny. It's got a little more, you know, it's a little larger looking than some other wedges, but overall, really good performer. And it's kind of cool that you can get three different soles. You know, if you want to mess around and hit different, you know, mess around with three different soles and all that. I will say, it's a little expensive when you get in, when you order it with the little kit. I mean, it comes with a little Allen wrench and the two different soles. It kind of comes in a little kit. It gets a little pricey when you add those things in there. You know, when you have all three soles in the wedge, I want to say this thing is $415. So it's not cheap. Without that, I think it's like $350 if you just go with a standard sole. It's $314. So it's $100 to get the whole kit with all three soles. And again, I don't know if you necessarily need it. I think it's kind of a cool thing if you wanted to later on maybe order the other sole if you wanted a different one. But like I said, overall, just a really, really good wedge. I mean, really soft. Probably arguably one of the softest wedges I've ever played. This will go up there with, you know, Mira Tours and some of the Mizuno Forge wedges. And it really is extremely, extremely soft. So kind of a cool design. I like how you can kind of, you know, play around. You can get three different soles, mess around with them. It'll be interesting this summer. I definitely want to mess with the kind of the low bounce and see, is there a drastic difference between the two? You know, definitely when you put them in there, you can definitely see when you just kind of hold it up, look at how much bounce. The low bounce sole definitely has a little less bounce to it when you look at it. I haven't measured it or anything, but it definitely is noticeably lower bounce. It'll be interesting to see how it plays. But, you know, like I said, overall, this Alcor Tour is pretty cool. I was shocked at how good it felt for being a multi-piece wedge. And the spin on it is really, really solid. So I think it's pretty cool. I like it. I like being able to tinker and all that with it. I know it's not necessarily everybody's cup of tea, and it's not necessarily everybody's price range, but if you have the chance to try it, definitely try it. It's pretty darn cool. If you want to check out more on it, go to Vega-Golf and check out the Alcor Tour. It's pretty interesting. I think they did a really good job, and the machining on it, all that is pretty awesome. So check that out. I thought it was a pretty cool wedge. I enjoyed hitting it, and I'll definitely play it some more. It's a solid piece. So, yeah, but I think that's all I've got today. I know, you know, I don't want to say I'm rambling on, but I've gone long enough. So it's all I've got today. Hopefully you guys have a great week. If you're at the show, like I said, take a look for a short bearded chubby guy walking around. I'll be there if you are going, and you know, all that. Travel safely, and hopefully, you know, get out, play some golf this weekend. And like I said, show next week is gonna be interesting. I be at an Airbnb to record it, so we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. The sound quality may not be amazing, but we'll get it done. So again, hopefully you guys have a great week, good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week sometime.